The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So we're continuing on with this list that pertains to meeting life well. It's a list of five items from the Pali Canon that are described as inner wealth, fortitude, inspiring things to reflect upon, and signs of spiritual growth. And today we're on the fourth one. The Pali word is chaga. That's spelled C long A G A, chaga. And it has two important and related dimensions. So chaga is sometimes translated as generosity, and that's the first dimension. It's the mental attitude or movement behind the act of dana, giving. We often hear dana translated as generosity, but it more literally means the act of giving or the gift itself. Chaga is this wholesome motivation behind giving. So it's about wanting to share, being happy about offering. I'll read the standard language that's used in the suttas. Here, a noble disciple dwells at home with a heart devoid of the stain of miserliness, freely generous, open-handed, delighting in relinquishment, devoted to charity, delighting in giving and sharing. So you can hear that the description is actually about the state of the person's heart. Freely generous, delighting in giving, devoted to charity. These are heart words. And so we can ask, well, how is an attitude of literal giving helpful as a Dharma resource? I think if we can be willing to be generous when under stress, that is an amazing spiritual quality. Usually in challenging situations, the heart closes and easily succumbs to feelings of holding on, wanting to protect, wanting to push away. But if we've cultivated generosity deeply enough, we will be more attracted to the good feeling of giving than to those reactive emotions that might come in the moment. The Buddha encouraged us to investigate the act of giving by noticing what is going on in our mind, why we are giving, how we're giving. And when we talked about virtue a couple of days ago, I suggested simply watching how we act and speak with mindfulness, such that we can notice when we're acting from unwholesome motivations, rather than doing some kind of a top-down control of our behavior to try to be ethical. So we can do the same thing with giving. Just watch how you give and notice what motivations, what emotions, what mannerisms are present. And when we do that, it will gradually purify our giving to come more often from the wholesome side. So just to offer some specifics that we might notice, sometimes we can actually give a gift out of fear. You know, perhaps we're afraid of displeasing someone in power if we don't give. We can also give out of desire, hatred, delusion, even as an insult. We can also give, of course, due to more complex relational and social reasons. Maybe we're giving to even the score with somebody who was given to us, or we're attempting to put another person in social debt to us. Or we may simply be following in the tradition of our family, or we might feel obligated to give because we have more than someone else. We might give in order to look good. We can also give because it makes the mind tranquil and happy. Or we can give out of compassion or love. These are very wholesome motivations. So actually everything I read there are all mentioned in the Buddhist teachings. They're all from the suttas. So people have been giving for these reasons for at least 2,500 years. And they're not given, I think, to judge various motivations, but rather to suggest that it's good to know why we're giving. The mind has many intentions, as we know. And as we observe, we'll naturally move toward the more wholesome ones, which is what roots this quality of chaga deeply into the heart and helps make it into a Dharma resource. There's also a choice about when to give. And it can be good to give immediately when we feel the urge to do so, especially if it would help to counteract some negative mind state that we have. I'm remembering that one time I was talking with a friend and I mentioned that I was intending to give some fruit to a neighbor with whom I had disagreed. And this was a Dharma friend. And she sat up straight and said, "Would you like to go do that right now?" And I was a little bit surprised, but I agreed. And in a short time, we had done it. And I felt lighter. You know, there was a letting go. It was nice that I was intending that, but you know, why not actually just go do it, right? And so then that leads to the second dimension of chaga, which is letting go. It's the letting go that we do along the path, distinct but related to the actual act of giving a gift. It's more subtle, maybe, this letting go that we do as part of our practice. So the Buddhist path is about letting go more and more deeply. There is cultivation. There is cultivation on the path. But even if we're actively cultivating a certain quality, we're generally going to have to release or dissolve the obstacles to doing that. So the idea eventually is to let go of the craving and clinging that are at the heart of dukkha. So chaga is used in a powerful verse from the Dhammapada. It goes like this. If by giving up a lesser happiness, one could experience greater happiness, a wise person would renounce the lesser to behold the greater. It makes sense in the abstract. We'll talk about it in a moment, but chaga in this verse is the word that's translated as both giving up and renounce. So if by giving up a lesser happiness, one could experience greater happiness, a wise person would renounce the lesser to behold the greater. Both of those are the word chaga. So we see that letting go is related to happiness, and particularly to finding a pathway toward greater forms of happiness. And sometimes this is relatively clear, which is the greater happiness, getting some kind of enjoyable food or creating a harmonious relationship with your partner, you know, some kind of material gain, or being honest, being truthful. So we can see that ethics and kindness and compassion are ordinary and quite accessible examples of these greater forms of happiness. We don't need to be thinking, you know, way high up. But another greater happiness is the kind that comes from meditation. So we gather the mind in meditation by letting go of the five hindrances and other reactive mind states and thoughts that prevent us from settling down. We give up the lesser happiness of being involved in our thoughts and emotions for the greater happiness of meditative calm when the conditions allow us to do that. There's a quote from the suttas. And it says, this is the Buddha talking, "Should anyone say the five cords of sensual pleasure are the utmost pleasure and joy that human beings experience, I would not concede that to them. Why is that? Because there is another kind of pleasure, loftier and more sublime than that pleasure. And what is that?" And then I'm summarizing to say that it's the pleasure of meditative composure. So the Buddha was clear about that. And then there are also various meditative insights that emerge along the path. And these are also typically realized when the mind releases its grip and is suddenly able to see differently in some way that can't easily be unseen. You know, that's one of the qualities of insight. So as we practice with both literal generosity and this act of letting go, we can condition our heart to realize that in many cases, relinquishment is better than acquisition, right? In general, relinquishment is better than acquisition. That's actually kind of a deep spiritual thing to start realizing. And then we still have to discover in each situation what it is that we need to let go of. There is some discernment about that. It is possible to let go unwisely, which we wouldn't want to do, but it's also very wise sometimes to let go. So we can meet life with this attitude of letting go. Maybe when we're struggling, or we could have the internal question, what would I have to let go of to make this easier? And sometimes we need to literally give something, like offering a gift to someone that we find difficult. Or sometimes we need to release something that we're gripping internally, like an emotion, for example, or some viewpoint or opinion. Today is Thanksgiving Day in the United States. And in the mythology that surrounds it, it's a celebration of a good harvest that would be sufficient to carry the early settlers in New England through the winter. And apparently there was some cooperation with the local Native Americans. So there's this image of kind of a shared feast together, which is about generosity and gratitude, much of what we're talking about today. And this is the story that many people in the United States grow up with. And so it's a holiday that centers around family and food. But for Native Americans, of course, there isn't such a rosy view of the interaction with colonists that came from Europe. That didn't play out very well, and it continues to be very painful. And some Native Americans even call today a day of mourning, day of mourning. But I've also heard that some Native Americans are now reclaiming Thanksgiving Day as an expression of values that are deeply inherent in Native culture. You know, gratitude and giving are prominent in Native American history. And why let white people co-opt that? So there's an example of flexibility in order to find a way through differing views. This is something that comes out of our ability to let go and be generous, is to understand that there are different ways to perceive any given situation. And it's helpful to find a way that isn't so much involved with dukkha, to find some view or perspective that is not related to suffering. So regarding this day, maybe in a more, you know, down-to-earth practical sense, you might find that there are some conversations at the family dining table with relatives who hold differing views. And I would like to recommend experimenting with the idea of releasing adherence to your own views in favor of being together peacefully. So it's a lesser happiness to win an argument or make a pointed statement than the greater happiness of appreciating a chance to have a meal together and spend some time together. So you'll navigate it in your own way. I don't want to give specifics, but at least consider this idea about the lesser and greater happiness, and maybe try to look for what you could let go of in order to behold a greater happiness. So we can be so generous with our mind and heart, and so flexible. And doing that actually makes us resilient in the world. And it's a wonderful resource for meeting life well. So I wish you a beautiful day of, if you're in the United States, a day of celebration. If you're farther out, a day of peace and letting go and generosity. So chaga, this resource of giving and letting go. Thank you.